Today is Transfiguration Sunday, which is always the last Sunday before the season of Lent. It brings an end to the season of Epiphany, that season of light, where we have been enjoying the ongoing revelation of who God is in Jesus Christ. And today we get a real glimpse of the glory of God in Jesus Christ with this story of Jesus' transfiguration from the Gospel of Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from Exodus chapter 34. Listen for God's word. "Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two covenant tablets in his hands, Moses didn't realize that the skin of his face shone brightly because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw the skin of Moses' face shining brightly, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called them closer. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and Moses spoke with them. After that, all the Israelites came near as well, and Moses commanded them everything that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went into the Lord's presence to speak with him, Moses would take the veil off until he came out again. When Moses came out and told the Israelites what he had commanded, the Israelites would see the skin of Moses' face was shining brightly. So Moses would put the veil on his face again until the next time he went in to speak with the Lord." This is God's word for us this morning. It only takes a few minutes of watching television, and you are bound to see an advertisement for a skincare product or plastic surgery. You know the ones I'm talking about, where the 25-year-old is applying a cream that wipes away the effects of the sun, or the acne product that guarantees you will look normal again, or the makeup that gets rid of the oily shine, or the cream that magically minimizes or eliminates wrinkles or transforms a 60-year-old into a 30-year-old. Or the device that makes sunspots disappear, or the procedure that gets rid of that double chin. Age is not the friend of Americans, we are led to believe, which is why we buy just about any product and go to any lengths to slow the effects of aging and keep our youthful glow. Because that is the hope in the end, that we will have that attractive glow. As one writer observed, shining skin isn't just an idea, it's a physical reality that shouts to the world, "I am healthy and happy." If that's what it says, who wouldn't want glowing skin? Well, Moses, according to our reading in the book of Exodus. Only his skin didn't glow. The glow of his skin didn't come from skincare products or plastic surgery. His glow resulted from being in the presence of God for 40 days on Mount Sinai. Important moments happen on mountains in the Bible. Elijah met God on a mountain and heard his call to stand up to an evil regime. Jesus taught about discipleship in his Sermon on the Mount. on a mountain. Then on a mountain, he was transfigured before his disciples in our first scripture lesson into who he will be after the resurrection. It's no surprise that Peter would say about that mountaintop experience, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Mountains are powerful places. As naturalist John Muir wrote after his many trips into the mountains, "No Sierra landscape that I have seen holds anything truly dead or dull, or any trace of what manufacturers called rubbish or waste. Everything is perfectly clean and pure and full of divine lessons." Today's reading is after Moses spent time in some of those divine lessons. The Bible says that while he was up on Mount Sinai, Moses spoke with God face to face as one speaks to a friend. There was something very intimate about the time Moses spent with God. It wasn't a phone call or video chat on FaceTime. It was face to face, and it was friendly. I imagine that Moses needed that time as he led the people of Israel through the wilderness toward the promised land. He needed it so that God could give him the Ten Commandments and the other laws that would help the Israelites stay faithful in the new land. He needed it so that Moses could plead for mercy for the Israelites when they did things like create and worship a golden calf. He needed face-to-face time with a friend as he struggled with his call to lead an unruly, opinionated, complaining, unfaithful group of people. He needed some time with a friend to rest and find some renewal, to continue that journey to the promised land. I imagine that Moses knew what it was like to be honest about himself before God in those face-to-face times, to ask for help, to be a spokesperson for the people, to learn and share what God wanted for his people. Those face-to-face times with God were powerful. Moses was in the presence of holiness, and it made an impression on him. The importance of these face-to-face time, of that face-to-face time, should be no surprise to any of us, even in our increasingly digital and technological culture. The power of being together in the same room, looking each other in the eye, is unmistakable. A Forbes study of 750 businesses from the summer of 2009. Revealed that face-to-face in-person meetings go far deeper than webinars and virtual events. 80% of executives said they prefer face-to-face contact to virtual meetings. They believe that in-person meetings are far superior for achieving goals like persuasion and leadership, engagement and inspiration, decision-making, accountability, brainstorming, and strategy. But that's not what we often hear about face-to-face meetings, is it? Why do we have to go to this meeting in person? Can't we just talk on the phone? Meetings take too much time. I have to travel. Are they really worth it? Well, the answer in our scripture passage is seen in the effect of a face-to-face meeting had on Moses. Moses' skin glowed after his meeting with God. Now that by itself is an intriguing detail, wouldn't you say? What does glowing skin look like? But what also is interesting about it is that Moses himself didn't seem to know that his skin was glowing or why. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God, the story says. It was the people's reaction that made him realize it. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw the skin of Moses' face shining brightly, they were afraid to come near him. I wonder if that's because what they were seeing was the result of Moses spending face-to-face time with God. And it was different. He was different. We've probably seen this shining glow in people's lives. after they've spent time with God? It can't help but show. They've spent time in prayer, speaking honestly and listening carefully for God. They've learned more in Bible study and about God's plan for life and their purpose in it. Their worship has led them to know love and grace, peace and hope in new ways. The glow shows up in their face and in their demeanor. You know something has happened to them. But that's not the only place. You give a hungry family food to eat at the food pantry or warm clothes to wear on a midnight run, and it changes you. You participate in a mission trip to Atlanta, New Orleans, or the Dominican Republic, and when you come home, you can't help but show some of the pictures on your phone to your friends and family of the people you've met and worked with, the buildings built, the projects completed, the children loved, the people you now know and love personally. Your enthusiasm is contagious. You watch the news about people suffering after natural disasters, and then you go into work and someone sees that you're troubled. You have a chance to commiserate with a coworker about the senselessness of the destruction in this world. You help a child or an adult learn to read. You sit at the bedside of a sick loved one. You attend a funeral of a friend who touched your life. You observe the beauty of perfect snowflakes falling on a silent winter night. Not now, though. All of these things move you, and it shows up in your face and in your actions in such a way that someone else notices, whether you know it or not. That's what happened to Moses. He couldn't help but reflect the power and mystery of that time spent with God. His skin glowed from that time. He looked like he had been in the presence of holiness. He reflected the mercy and grace of the one who forgives. He shone with the hope of the God who liberates people and leads them to a life of human dignity and worth. He was the symbol of what time spent with God would mean for everyone gathered around him and for their mission in this world. He reflected the love and grace of his Creator, his Redeemer, and his Sustainer. The only thing that he could do that would obstruct who he was and what time spent with God looked like would be to cover it up. And guess what Moses did? He put a veil over his face, so that the people around him wouldn't be afraid of what they saw. He covered up who he was so that others wouldn't feel uncomfortable around him. He dimmed his glow to soothe the fears of others. Instead of holiness, the people got safety. Instead of grace, the people got tolerance. Instead of calling people to something deeper, richer, and life-changing, the people were left with the status quo. The same old, same old. One author suggests that this is all too common today. Instead of reflecting real and authentic face time with God, we have turned to experience, to this time of experience with God in sort of a hunt for religious sightings and one-off experiences. He says, witness that every year or so there is a new miraculous appearance of Jesus' face in some bizarre place. Jesus has shown up in the bathroom window in Texas somewhere, or on a flour tortilla, also in Texas, through a Willie Nelson photograph, or on a rusty water tank in Ohio, or perhaps more, maybe better, on a chalice veil on a small church's altar in Pennsylvania. It's almost like we are more interested in the bizarre places God shows up rather than unveiling our own shining faces after time spent ourselves in the presence of God. It helps me appreciate what St. Augustine said back in the 4th century. People travel to wonder at the height of the mountains, at the huge waves of the seas, at the long course of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and yet they pass by themselves without any wonder. How often do we invest amazement and awe in nature, but do not see the glow of God's wondrous creation in ourselves or each other? Perhaps there is a veiled question in this story for us today. How do we glow with the light of God's love and grace, peace and hope after time spent with God in worship here? It is too easy to separate who we are and what we do with the rest of our lives after time here. It is too easy to forget our identity as people of God, followers of Jesus, temples of the Holy Spirit, in the course of our everyday lives, and end up veiling the light of God for others. Marina Abramović is a Serbian performance artist who staged a three-month exhibition at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. All day, every day, she sat at a table in the museum's atrium in what she described as a square of light. Members of the audience were invited to join her, one at a time, at the opposite end of the table. There was no talking, no touching, and no overt communication of any kind. Her goal, she said, was to achieve a luminous state of being and then transmit it. She literally wanted to sit there and give off light. While she did not achieve the shining face of Moses, she made a compassionate and loving connection with many people sitting across from her in silence. And some were even moved to tears. It was a powerful time as the light of her life became a gift for others. How luminous might we be if we let the light of God shine through us and invite others into it? Author and teacher Marianne Williamson has said something that I reflect on quite regularly. She says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Maybe I should put on a veil. Actually, who are you not to be? She says. You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in every one of us. As we let our light shine, we unconsciously give people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Before whom might you unveil your shining face this week and offer liberation? With whom might you be the light of the world, as Jesus calls his followers to be in his Sermon on the Mount? Ash Wednesday begins the season of Lent, and we'll be invited to spend some face-to-face time with God by practicing Sabbath. How might we rest in God over the next 6 weeks so that on Easter morning we may shine with the light of the good news of Jesus' resurrection and God's gift of life for all? Don't worry about the skincare products that hide your shine. Unveil your shining face for all the world to see and invite them to bask in the glow of God's love and grace, God's hope, God's peace, and God's new life. Amen.